I was throwing rocks at the TV when Faulkner was the sixth bowler used. For Michael Clark to come on the fourth bowler in front of Faulkner is an absolute disgrace. What a load of junk that is. Kim tried to tell me one day, I think it was about 84, and West Indies, he tried to tell me it's a team game. And I said, no, it's not, Kim, it's an individual's game.
Right, you're bloody well right.
On Halftime, right, Rodney Hall.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
And the beauty is, he says it. And we love when Hoggy joins us on Halftime. It's thanks to Ribera's Sensational Seafood Sundays at Ribera's in North Melbourne for just $99. Enjoy a two-course lunch for two, including a bottle of wine. That is a Sensational Seafood Sunday for Hoggy. And we love our good friends at Ribera's and helping us out with that. John Ribera doesn't catch the fish, but he's at the market every morning at 3 a.m. sourcing quality fresh seafood. You can't go past Ribera's at 480 Victoria Street, North Melbourne. There's a fantastic private function room as well. Large groups are welcome. Give them a buzz, 9329 1634, or Google Ribera's and the rest is easy. Rodney, good afternoon.
When you're at school, did the English teacher used to point to you if she wanted something read? Because you're a brilliant reader, aren't you, really?
Oh, I haven't sort of analysed myself to that degree, Hoggy, but...
Well, how far did you go scholastically with your English?
English was one of my better subjects.
Year 12?
Year 12, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I can't remember my score, but it was a good mark.
Yeah. Oh, you're a good reader.
I like writing essays. That's what I used to like writing, Hoggy.
Did you?
I like writing essays. I don't know why, but I did. Yeah. But I've been talking dribble since I was three, so that's just the way it is.
Well, people who are good at dribble are usually good at writing essays, aren't
well,
they?
Well, not necessarily. It's about structure, comprehension.
What about structure? The next bloke we've got on has got a bit of structure with his bowling.
Well, I'm very, very pleased. I love chatting to our next guest, who is one of the all-time great bowlers, as far as I'm concerned, in my time watching cricket. And he's been good enough to join us this afternoon to talk a bit of swing bowling. It's the one and only Terry Alderman. Hello, Terry.
G'day, Haas. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Still got to put up with that bloke next year.
Well, I've been without him for a couple of weeks. He's been on the junket over there in England for the Ashes, so I've missed him. It's nice to have him back.
Yeah, I know. I was over there as well.
Oh, dear. Well, you had to put up with him.
Yeah.
And you, Terry, you've got to apologise to me too, please, because you sat there and watched every delivery. And what happens, the screen picks you and your mate Mervyn up. And my little touring group, I didn't hang around them, and they're looking at you on the big screen going, well, how come they're sitting with their touring group? So please apologise.
No, well, I like to sit with the punters.
Terry, you're talking to me now.
No, very informative. I was happy to handball over to AB, though, Alan Border, of course. And what he produced was an all-out 60, so...
Captain Grubby come up with a 60. You don't seem to have the aversion to the public that Rodney has, Terry.
No, he seems to hide, but if there's a grog and a free feed going, you've got to always see Hoggy there.
And a cashie.
You watched every ball, the second and third test. Were you there for the first, Terry, or just the second and third?
Just second and third, Rod.
Isn't that the turnaround there was quite incredible, wasn't it? Were you there the morning of the third? We just pulled their pants down, we bowled them out for 100, and it was a swinging sort of a morning. Did you get a bit of a shock when we won the toss and decided to bat?
Yeah, look, I think other captains, after we'd had the foot on the throat at Lord's, and their batting looked absolutely woeful. Our bowling, of course, was very good. Mitch Johnson, of course, was producing those thunderbolts. But, yeah, look, I know a few captains would have just said... Look, I remember John Inverarity, one of the best captains that I ever played under. He used to come up to the bowlers in the morning. How are you feeling, you know? It's a bit of a green top out there. What do you reckon? And I'd say, yeah, mate, I'm ready to go. You know, as a opening bowler, and I always got that new cherry, I love bowling first to open up the start of a game. Didn't matter whether it was a test match or a first-class fixture. So... I would have loved to have had a bowl, and I'm sure the bowlers would have as well. So, yeah, we might have missed a trick there, and everything might have turned around from there because we had very good momentum coming from Lord's.
And you watched Smith get his 200 odd at Lord's. Hasn't made a run since. Did you? Were you happy with his technique at Lord's, or was it the fact he was on a flat wicket that he was able to get away with making a big score?
Oh, look, it was a great partnership, him and Buck Rogers. And Rogers, gee, what a great selection that was. 2 years ago to take him over there. I mean, it was written, you know, he'd done so well over there on English conditions, and he came back after that. He was making runs in Australia as well, so he had to really be picked. And there's talk now that he might be going kicking and screaming. He might want to keep going for maybe another tour of England in another 3 or 4 years' time.
Just put him on ice for 3 years and get him back for the Ashes. That'll work for me. I'm okay with that. He's brilliant. You're right, Terry. The way he's been able to adapt to the conditions, knowing he's played a fair bit of first-class cricket over there, has been a great example for the other batsmen. They just haven't been able to follow.
Well, England did roll out Colin Cowdery in 1974 or 5, wasn't it? So he was about 42 or 43 then.
Are we getting the selection right with our fast bowls? I remember that amazing selection of yourself. I was trying to work out how you got selected in 1981 and they left Geoffrey Robert Thompson at home. Are we getting our selections incorrect? Do you feel we're going for the genuine fast bowler versus the bloke who can move the ball a bit?
Yeah, just on that, gee, Tomo, he was livid. Who's this bloke getting up game, he said. Who's this bloke? He bowls rat power and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so we've had a couple of good chats since then over the years. So, in fact, in our touring party, we had Tomo up for one morning and he was great. He was great fun. But, yeah, look, the bloke that's really disappointed me is Josh Hazlewood on this tour so far. I've been trying to analyse his bowling. It's almost as though he thinks he's got to be bowling faster and faster and hitting that deck hard and all that sort of stuff. He just needed to get that ball up there and give it a chance to move. If you think about, you know, what their bowlers have done, Anderson and...
Broad or Finn?
And Broady, of course.
Yep.
You know, they were kissing that wicket, just getting the movement away. The Knicks were carrying beautifully, and didn't they catch well too, the Pommy slip. So I just think that he had a role to do. We had the power bowlers in Johnson and Stark at the other end. He just needed to keep the ball nice and tight, six out of six. He didn't appear as though he could bowl six balls on or outside that off stump in a consistent fashion. And that really disappointed me because I think that is the backbone of his bowling.
But the first two test matches, I felt he was going along quite nicely. But when he got a green top, that's when it showed up, didn't it?
Well, in a green top, if you run in harder and harder and bang that ball in, it just sits up. And they play the ball so late, the English players, you know, Root, early on in his innings, he plays that ball behind square, doesn't try to overhit it, just uses the pace of the bowler. And then when he was bowling short, it was almost like he could have a cup of tea. One, two, three, bang. Just the ball just sat up and gave him a great opportunity to score.
So once again, we've bowled too short in England, have we?
I think so.
Yep,
I mean, I don't mind getting driven as long as there's that movement and everything. Look, he was probably bowling faster than Broad when Broad picked up his eight for. You know, okay, and how many of those wickets did Broad get with short pitch deliveries? None. They were all beautifully on or outside that off stump. How's that way he's bowling that away swinger to the left-handers coming around the wicket?
Yeah.
Reminded me of Bob Massey back there at Lord's in 72. So, you know, it would have been fantastic if we'd had a bowler that could have done that.
So when you analyse our batting, we keep saying, oh, we're going too hard at the ball and we're all going forward. But that's probably because they're bowling a better length. They're right up, so they do drag you forward, don't they?
Yeah, but, you know, we just hadn't had somebody who wanted to hang in there apart from, you know, Bucky Rogers. And you know, he's aggressive over there as well. He keeps the good one out. If he gets one with a bit of width, he goes after it and smashes it. Or if he gets a bit of a thick edge, it goes flying over the slips. That's the way he plays over there. Our blokes just didn't learn anything from that. I just wonder, you know, the last two tours we've been showing up. And then back in Australia, of course, when Anderson ran riot, swinging the kookaburra all over the place, when we did lose 5-0, I mean, that was a disgrace. And we haven't learned anything since then.
The old dismissal, Gooch, LBW, bold alderman, was that was one that we used to laugh about. But at the moment, we've got Watson, LBW to anybody How did you find when you're bowling to Gucci versus, say, Watson? Do you see any similarities?
Well, Gucci, you know, I'd played county cricket against him leading up to 89, so I played against Gucci quite a bit. And his famous shot was his on drive with that big back lift and everything. And when he brought that bat down through for an on drive, his on drive almost went through mid wicket. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
So I thought if we could just shore up that little area, so have a short leg and have a short mid wicket, he might not play that shot. I mean, if he'd normally had just played that shot, he would have killed those both the short, the square leg, the short catcher, as well as the short mid wicket. But he didn't. He just half tentatively played, and he was just wafting the ball, the bat across the ball, and of course got hit on the pads, and Dickie Bird was quite happy to give him out.
You're seeing, well, what do you feel of Watson's LBW? Because he's got out LBW just in this last game, so they couldn't go back to Watson in Test cricket, I wouldn't have thought.
No. Just he's a plonker. If you plonk the pad down there and play across it, you're in a bit of strife. I mean, he needs, you know, if he's going to have any career left, he needs to and Gucci did. Gucci, after 89, he went back and did a heap of work. He's told me the whole story about it. And his next major innings after that 89 debacle for him,
India,
was 333 against India at Lord's, only 12 months later.
But he was a lot younger, wasn't he? A lot younger at that age than what Watson is at the moment.
Oh, yes, yeah. And super fit as well. You know, he'd make 100 in a county game and then go for a 10-mile run. You know, that's the way Gucci operated.
What he really? Is that his regime, yeah, was it?
He was big into his running, yeah. And, wow. I think he's got to get a lot of credit for a few of the developments of some of those players too. Cookie's had a lot to do with him.
Yeah.
And just in mental approach to the game as well.
He had a lot to do with Bo Para too. He went nowhere.
Always happy to bring
the game again.
Just on LBWs, it's interesting because Gooch, 24% of his dismissals is LBW. Watson is 27% of his dismissals are LBW. And the normal bloke is probably around, Mark Waugh was 16 and Steve Waugh 12. So they're normal. So the normal dismissal of a cricketer is 15. So let's say 15% of his dismissals is LBW. Watson's up around the 27%.
Yeah. Look, I thought he'd done a pretty good job when they did have him in the opening role. I mean, he might have got away with a couple. His eye might have been better. His reflexes might have been better. But he made, what 650s in his first eight times or nine times going to the crease for Australia. And everyone said, oh, yeah, but he's not making the big score. But he was doing a very good job for Australia, I thought. But he's got to be, when he's firing, he's bowling. He's bowling his overs and taking wickets and making runs. But unfortunately, time's run out for him. I agree with you.
Did you used to pray for overcast conditions? Because to me in England, there's two conditions. One, when it's the sun's out and it's a flat wicket, you get on the front foot and it's happy birthday. But when it's overcast and seeming, that really requires the art of batting, doesn't it? Did you used to pray for overcast? Oh, obviously you did. But
Yeah, look, I remember one county season we had. We had the first five weeks, we played every single day. You know, there was no rained off. The blokes were praying for rain, the batsmen and the bowlers. Oh, I still enjoyed it, though. Look, England conditions. In Australia, fast bowler, swing bowler, you bowl an out swinger, it kisses nicely on the wicket, goes through. If you get an edge, or even if it just goes through to the keeper, you go, wow, it's moving for me today. In England conditions, you don't really see that movement. It's subtle. You just get that little bit of movement away off the seam or whatever, and it doesn't necessarily fly through to the keeper. It's a patience game, bowling in England, and our blokes just haven't had that patience.
Terry Alderman's... Sorry, Terry, you're just going to...
Starkey's struggling a bit, you know. He bowls that magnificent delivery, but, you know, he loses the pressure because he bowls the four balls, two four balls every two overs or something like that, takes the pressure off.
You were talking before about the impact of swing and when Jimmy Anderson came here in the 5-0 drubbing that they handed us, and he was swinging all over the place. There wasn't too much talk about the swing of the Kookaburra ball and the conditions during that tour, but every time we go to England, there's all this talk about the swing of the Duke ball, and and the way that they affect the impact of the game and the way that we bat against that. What's the difference, Terry, from a batting point of view? And you mentioned it slightly there, but do we need to address the Kookaburra v Duke situation, or is it just dealing with a swinging ball?
Well, Harf, I've heard that, is it Punter or someone has said that we should get rid of the Kooker?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, here in Australia.
Yep, that's what he said.
I think it does actually last better in better conditions. I mean, the subcontinent, they used the Duke ball, and there was another ball that they used too, which was even rock. They used to call it a bat breaker. I've forgotten the name of it. But it used to break the bats because it was such a rock-hard ball. I mean, I suppose in our conditions, the abrasive wicket and everything, we probably do need a more hardier ball. And then there was those four or five series ago where the Kookaburra was changed after, 20 overs or before 20 overs a couple of times in the test series. Look, it is a different ball to be bowling with. It's bigger in your hand. The rope, as we call it, the seam, is much more pronounced. And I think we saw that come to the fore, both with Anderson, at Edgbaston. That was just, just lining up there, just swing the ball, and the boys were just going to nick it. And, I don't think they'll change it. The Kookaburra has been around for 100 years in Australia. I don't think they'll change it.
Terry, when they come out here and we thrash them, they don't say, oh, let's change to a Kookaburra ball back in England. We thrash them most of the time we beat England out here. Why take our advantage away by using a Duke's ball? You surely would stay with a Kookaburra here.
Yeah, that's a part of the makeup of Australian cricket. So we'll keep it, just like we say, one for 100, not 100 for one.
Terry, it is great to chat to you anytime to talk cricket, so we appreciate your time this afternoon. Good luck. We'll chat again soon.
Very good, Half. Those Hawks of yours are going all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just travelling nicely at the minute. Got to travel west, though, for a final, it seems, so we'll see how it unfolds from there.
You might have to come over twice.
I'll be happy to do so. Good on you, pal. Thanks very much.
Go the West Coast.
Go the Mighty Eagles. Terry Alderman, one of the all-time greats as far as I'm concerned, watching cricket. So able to manipulate that ball.